But God is love. It is His very existence. His love for His creation. And I kept hearing the scripture where Jesus said, forgive 7 times 7. And the disciples said, increase our faith. And I just kept hearing over and over that the love of God is going to be released in this room. And I'm not sure what you need faith for. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what your circumstances are. But I heard the Lord say this morning that He is here to increase our faith. He's here to deposit a measure inside of us that the love of God would arise, that it would birth hope, that we would truly see Him in His goodness. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, and the name that is above every other name, Father, we release the love of God in this room, God, right now. Hallelujah, Father. Come on, release your Holy Spirit, oh God. Father, fill us up with your love from the bottom of our feet to the top of our head, God. Father, just as you've spoken, God, and your word, increase our faith, God. Lord, those dead things, those dry bones, right there, come on. There's things and hopes and dreams that you've given up on. Relationships, you're just not sure. You're like, no, I don't believe, I don't know how it could happen. But come on, God is in this room this morning. Lord, increase our faith. Come on, right there. Come on, let it arise. Let the hope and love of God arise. Come on. Wow. He's a God that changes everything. In a moment, God comes in and releases His love. Right there, come on. And it changes everything. Wow. Wow. Come on. Wow. Increase our faith, God, right there. Come on. Come on. There's a measure dropping in this room right now. There's a measure of God dropping in this room. And it's arising in us. Lord, increase our faith, God, for your dreams, God, for your plans for us, God, for the call of God right now. Awaken right there, right there. Come on. Come on. Things are changing right now in the supernatural. It says that when we attach our faith to His faith, something changes. Come on. Wow. Things are being unlocked right now in heaven and being released. Come on, right there. Let Him unlock that. Come on. Wow. Wow. I see resources. I see miracles right now. I see even financial resources coming down from heaven. Come on, I don't know what your need is, but God is here this morning. And He said, if we will ask, if we will knock, the door will be open to us. Come on. Wow, wow. Wow. Thank you for your love, God. We thank you for your love, oh God. Wow. Increase our faith, God. Increase our faith this morning, God. Like never before, Lord. Right there, come on. There's something in this moment. I don't understand it myself, but there's something in this moment right now where God is stepping in. And there's a measure of increasing our faith. Wow, right there, come on. Right there, there it is. Receive it, receive it. Wow, wow, wow.
We do release the love of God upon those that are sick among us. We have several people that are, they're in critical positions. Without miracles, they're going to go be with the Lord. And we trust today that for Deb and Frank and Ed and Lynn, Mal, see, we had another two couples. Was it I want their names. Could you give me? I know we've been praying for them. Well, when they come up, Father, right now we claim, Lord, healing for those that we named and those that we did not name. We release the power of healing. Now, sometimes we, you know, as Jeff was saying, money falling from heaven, I haven't had a money shower, but that could be a job that you've been praying for. That could be a position that you did not have that God's wanting to put you in. You know, sometimes God is not always like, you know, a rain from heaven, money from heaven. I'd love that. That would be an eternal thing that's coming down, money from heaven. But we believe right now that the power of healing has been released over Bethany's life right now. I'm trying to think, what was that brother's name, Joan? Huh? Oh, Glenn, that's right, yeah. Yeah, we lift up Glenn to you right now. Hallelujah, right now, that whole side right now, and his salvation today. Salvation's a tremendous miracle, amen. All right, we just lift that up. We apply the love of God, because that's what we were talking about, the faithfulness of God. You know, if you're faithful and you love God, things start happening around you, amen. All right. Well, God bless you. You may be seated. Oh, why don't you go out and shake a couple hands in front of you and behind you and just say, hey, it's great to be in the house of the Lord today. Yeah, we've got a couple new families. Bless you. It's working for you. Oh, yeah, it's working pretty good, you know. All right. Well, we have a few things that are going on, quite a few things that are going on. We have an opportunity. We've been sowing into the kingdom of our local body. We had a furnace that went out earlier, and I think we're maybe several thousands dollars ahead. And so we're working towards getting that completed, and so that's going well. And if you want to sow into that, that'd be great. We have also a trip to Africa. There's six people leaving on the 4th of May, 5th of May, to the 20th of May, and we're going to be holding a woman's or mother-daughter's woman's conference in Uganda, Kampala, Uganda, with Steve Mianje. And also right after that, we're going to have a youth conference. And we're expecting about 1,000 people on each section, ladies, 900 to 1,000, and also with the teens, 900 to 1,000. A lot of them are coming. Steve has, in East Africa, he has all sorts of church affiliations that he actually has started the churches. 325 churches he started. When I first met him about 6 years ago, like many of you, he was with 175. So Steve has been working diligently, and actually Steve's going to be here not next Sunday, but the following one, April 7th, I believe. April 7th. So Steve will be with us. He's in Minneapolis. He's taking the bus to Grand Forks. I'm picking them up, and we're going to have ourselves a men's meeting on Saturday morning, and also a service here on Sunday morning with Steve Mianje, all the way from Uganda. So that's what's going on. And what we've kind of put out a challenge, what I've done now is we have six people going, and I said six with $1,000 pays that off, so we don't have to worry about that anymore. And all I'm saying, I said, you know, like with airline tickets and room and board and different things, that comes out to be about $1,800, I believe, close to that. We do have, what else we have? We have visas to get into the country, which is 150. So we're at 2,000. So all they have to do is donate another $1,000 and we made it. Or, this is the other thought, if 60 people gave $100, we'd make it. So they can give another $1,000. I don't know where they're going to come up with it, but I'm sure that God, if they come up with $2,000, I'm sure he can come up with it. So with a lot of people participating, it works better. Together, everything we accomplish more. So anyhow, that's some of the stuff that's coming up in the future. How about anything else that's happening, heavy duty, that we're needing to know?
There's a few birthdays and past birthdays.
Okay. Bethany, I know it's your birthday today. And I know your dad would say, yeah, hey, you know what, there's some birthdays. So, Bethany, happy birthday. There was another little Emmett has a birthday, okay. Anyone else that has a birthday today, happy birthday. And if it's this week, happy birthday also. If it was last week, happy birthday. And so we get all the birthdays in. Usually, if I was going to remember all the birthdays, I probably wouldn't remember anything else, and that would be a little struggle for me. So I'm leaving that alone also. But happy birthday to anyone and everyone that's having a birthday in 2 months ahead, 2 months back. So I'm covered. All right. Well, we have an opportunity to sow into the kingdom with our tithes and our offerings, our weekly gathering, our finances to keep everything running here. Father, we lift that up and we ask, Lord, that you had said that you'd open up the windows of heaven. And okay, that's what the prophet said today. You know, finances would fall from heaven. You know, a lot of scriptures in the Bible says that if we do this, then he's going to open up heaven. He's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that we cannot contain. Now, I have been tremendously, tremendously blessed, but I'm always waiting for that day that, you know, I'm not looking for the lottery, but if I wanted it, I'd spend it. Whatever happens, you know, God, you said it, and if we will be faithful in this, then you'll be faithful in that. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, for our opportunity to be able to give and also to be blessed in giving. So in Jesus' name, we bless this offering. Amen. If you're making out a check, you can make it payable to the Community Church International. God bless you in your giving. And we don't come out and take it. You come in and give it. So if you're wanting to do that now, that'd be great. Fantastic. Amen. We have a dedication this morning. We're not going to do that right now. We're going to spend that at the end of the service or closer to the end of the service. But dedication is a pretty cool thing. It's before Christ, coming from what I knew about it all, I thought like baptism was dedication. And I'm not going to get into baptism of babies or anything like that, but I'm saying that dedication is an important part for the parents. And so the parents have a step of faith that they have to step out in if they want their kids to be dedicated to the Lord. I think that when a child is born into this earth, I believe that God knew before the foundations of the earth who that child was. fact, the Bible tells us that, so I'm on pretty solid ground. So it's important that us as parents, as godparents, take this opportunity and say, I'm going to dedicate myself, not only the child, but I'm going to dedicate myself to build this child into a child of God. Amen? And that would take maybe your personal reading in the evenings, prayer for your meals. You know, it just comes by saying, okay, we're going to pray at our table. We're going to eat together at our table and pray for our daily bread. Some of these simple things really get into the hearts of the children. And then when they come to that place of saying, hey, I am committing my life to Jesus Christ, then there's a born-again experience that happens, that they become born again of the Spirit of God. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Okay. Danny, I wouldn't have to give this to you, but would you, anyone that does not have one of these cards are, there are 11 things that will change your life. And if you're working, and I'm talking about in 1 year, because I want to go on to another 11 things next year. But these 11 things will definitely change your life. If you don't do them, your life will be back there. And so what we're wanting to do is really take a look at this. And we're going to take the first one. Denny, would you pass those out? Anyone, would you raise your hands? And he'll give you a card. And if you, last week we handed out a bunch of them, so if you have that with you, that'd be fantastic. All right. So 11 things to change your life. You know, if you go to college, you know how many years that doctors go to college for? At least four, right? And then if they're going in, so it's usually more than four, right? So sometimes eight, can they get a doctor's degree in eight? Okay, so you 8 years that you're working to get a doctor's degree, that's pretty powerful, huh? And so we're believing that these 11 things that I don't think we don't have to do 8 years, but we could dedicate ourselves to maybe 8 months or 1 year, and that our lives would be changed. And whether you know all of this or you do not know all of it, it'll change you because you're helping others to understand the Bible in a closer way. So there's a song that Jeremy is going to play that if you could grab this, it's an older song, but it's very, very powerful. And we're going to take a look at this and look at some of the scriptures. Jeremy, would you do that?
It's not my strength, but his. There's no greater sacrifice, for I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. As I hear the Savior call for David to die, I will bow beneath the weight of Calvary. Just let my hand surrender to His piercing purpose that hold me to the cross He had set me free. I will glory in the power of the cross. All the things I thought were gain, I count as loss. And with this suffering I identify. And by His resurrection power, I am alive. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. Not I, but Christ that lives within me. His cross will never ask for more than I can give. For it's not my strength, but His. There's a greater sacrifice.
Thank you so very much, because I would love to sing like that, but I figured I'd let him do it, and I'm just going to take the credit for it. Hallelujah. Well, at least I'm going to try to take the credit that it changes me to what they were singing.
Yes.
And so if we looked at the little cards with the eagles on them, and number one, it says repentance into baptism, and again, repentance means to turn from, to turn to. So we turn from something and we turn to something. And the very first day that I believed, back on Super Bowl Sunday 1979, there was something that happened to me that I went up and I asked for forgiveness and said, you know, Jesus, I need You. I need You in my life. And the only way I'm going to change is because You would come into my life. You know? And to my, and I don't know if it was even a surprise. It was wild, but it literally changed my life from that day forth. Now, am I perfect? No, but I'm getting better. Every day I'm getting better. And I think the song really displays something about our lives. Is if we could take that song, his first verse, and we're going to look at that, but I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to give us a little bit of foundation. And actually, the scriptures are right here. Matthew 21, 32. It tells us, all right. It says, "For John came unto you in a way of righteousness, and you believed him not." Okay, he was talking about the religious focus of that day. And the religious people of that day, John come, and he brought what he had to say about righteousness, and they believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and yea, when you have seen it, repented not afterwards, that you might believe him. In other words, those that seen what was happening to the publicans, not the Republicans, but the publicans, and the sinners, the harlots, the response was great. Their lives were being changed. But the religious people of that time, it said they didn't believe. So the biggest and most important thing that we have from the very beginning of our Christian walk is that we believe. Okay? And then you have to ask questions, and there could be quite a few questions. What do you believe in? And I think maybe even the song that we heard, I love it. It's anointed. As far as anointed, I mean, there's something that sets you free, except what does that mean? And you know, I think the very first time I heard, this group has been around for a long time, and I love the song, and I love the lyrics, and I love the feeling of the song, but what is it asking us? And so we find out that it was for those that did not have a Savior. It was for those that did not have a doctor. They were needing help. And here Jesus, Dr. Jesus, the great physician, walked into a person's life and changes things. Amen? That's pretty cool, I think. Next scripture was Luke 24. Get some basis here. Luke 24 and 46, 47. It says, "And said unto them, this is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things." So here we are, again, Jesus telling us that this is what's going to be preached. You know, and it's repentance and remission of sins. Oh yeah, we did that a long time ago. Yeah, we had that experience way back then. And so I'm still asking about that dude when he was singing that song. Really, that's what he was singing. And so if we got up, and just as a reminder, if we would just say, you know, I don't know if you're going to get up and listen to that song every day of your life, but it would be good for you. It would change your life, because it always brings you from that past life to this new life to resurrection. And he was asking the questions. The first verse, man, he said, "Hey, you know what? I didn't know what was really going on, and I don't know if I wanted to pay the price on what was going on." That was really what the first verse of the song was. So going to another verse, we go to Luke 5:31. Okay, 5. We get it nailed down in Scripture. "It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife..." That's not the Scripture I'm wanting. Okay, that's Luke. Okay, maybe it was something that was planned in there. Leaving that alone too. Okay, get into the wife and husband situation. Luke, okay, 31, here we go. And Jesus answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So how many people here were sinners? How many times? Okay. How many people think you're still sinners? Okay. Okay. And what's the advantage of being a sinner? You're saved by grace. Grace. God's grace. And actually, when you are in God's grace, pretty soon it takes away you being a professional sinner to being a God man or woman, a God woman, because you don't have to sit there because Christ took care of the sin situation. Amen. It doesn't mean that you won't be in a battle, especially if you say, well, Christ can't do anything about it. Christ can do everything about it. Amen. And that's why if he couldn't do anything about it, why did he go and die for us? So we have to realize that this life that Christ has brought to us is a powerful reminder to us that he can do something, and he does do something, and every day he'll change us to the glory of God. Amen? And if you start believing that, it starts taking you over. They talk about making, somebody sang a song about making trails in your mind or in your brain. What is it called? Plasticity or something on that order? That you actually can start thinking, and it actually gets your mind, so you think it, and then you think it again. You think it's kind of like a habit, you know. You got 21 times. Some people say 40. I say 80 for my mind. But you start thinking that, and you're making something in your mind that you're thinking instead of all the negativity. You start thinking about the positive things that God has created for us to think on, and then it starts taking over our minds. And so we start putting on, taking off our mind and putting on whose mind? The mind of Christ. Yeah, it's a pretty, quite a thought actually. And Acts 3:19 was the next verse. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In other words, if you'll do this, repent ye, turn from it, and be converted. That's what happened to myself on Super Bowl Sunday. I repented of that old life that I didn't even realize about this new life, but I was going to learn about that now. Okay, you see what I'm saying? Okay, so I knew a lot about the old life, and I thought it would be too hard. It's kind of like buying a new car, having an old car. Okay, what is it going to take to buy a new car? Well, it's going to take you to probably trade in your old car, okay, if you don't, for a down payment. If you don't have a down payment, get your old car, you trade that old car in. Now what do you get? Well, you get a new car. And what do you get with the new car? Payments. You're going to pay for that new car. Sometimes you just take it into consideration. Sometimes the husband, they're very fast thinkers. Oh, we'll take it off on our taxes. You know, talking to their wives. That was a joke, actually. But you know, one time I went up to buy a lawnmower blade, and I come back with a new pickup. Now you start thinking, and my wife didn't have it. We were right over here. My wife didn't have a sink. She was washing dishes in her laundry sink. Okay, lawnmower, new pickup, lawnmower blade. Does not compute. Cupboards, sink. And I talked to her, but it was many years that she had brought that up. Time and time again. We're different than women. Men run in boxes. Like, we just take a box. Okay, we're going to buy a new truck. It's a box. Okay, in the box is this new truck deal. Women are not wired like that. They're wired with all sorts of wires, and all these wires are connected, and what if, and what happens, and this and that. And if you don't include them from your box to all these wires, you're in trouble. Danny says, you got it now, buddy. Okay, so just in this thought, with the song that we heard, the first verse was, as I look back on what I thought was living, okay, he was looking, you know, where do they get these words? Do you think this guy just didn't read the Bible, didn't do anything, all of a sudden God dropped on him? No, this guy had been in a word, they were studying and showing himself proved, and he said, I'm amazed at the price I chose to pay. In other words, he said, well, you know, this is going to cost me something. I think I'm going to stay over here. That was always in my mind. Why should I go to Christ? It's going to change my mind. I'm going to have to get out all my craziness and stuff like that. And it goes on, and to think I'm ignorant what really matters, because I thought the sacrifice would be too great. So in other words, why go through it? Why go through this born-again deal? Why don't you just keep your old life, you know? This is what the dude was talking about. He's just saying, hey, why don't I just keep my old life? You know, I could sing in the world. I'm a good singer. I can make it. And it goes on that, but when I finally reached the point of giving in, I found the cross was calling even then, and even though it took dying to survive, I've never felt so much alive. You see, that first day that I believed, it was mind-boggling. I went home and told my wife, I've changed. She looks at me, yeah, right. You know, I don't know how many times I'd told her that I'm going to change, but when I come home and I said, I've changed, it was a new story that I was telling. But you know what? The proof is in the pudding. And after 1 month, and after 2 months, and after 3 months, pretty soon the wife was going, he's changed. And then it was the fourth month and the fifth month, and then I backslid. And it was a terrible deal. It was terrible on my wife. I think it was terrible on my wife, but it was real terrible on me. And this is what happened. I was being an example to this guy that was not a Christian. I was witnessing to him. And the Callaway liquor store was on our way back from Manoman, where we were working on a building. And we stopped just for one. And by the time it got done, it was one. And 1 o'clock in the morning, and I got plastered. But the only thing I could talk about was this new life that I had in Christ. You know, it's nothing worse than a drunk Christian, you know. Jesus did this, Jesus did that, look at me. You know, I couldn't even swear with not having conviction. You know, I used to be a great joke teller, dirty joke teller, and I couldn't do that. So it was a miserable time. I got home, and my wife, here she is. Is she mad at me? She's not mad at me. But what she said is, you were such a witness to Bus Johnson, and now he tricked you and he got you to go in there, and now you're not a witness anymore. That was tough on me, because I had something on the inside of me, a new man living on the inside of me, that I wanted to make it. I wanted to make it in Jesus. And so that happened one time, and then I got back on the road. Jesus didn't condemn me. So I just love this guy. I mean, he finds out dying is his living. So I died to all those old life deals that I was going, and I started living. I mean, I started having a life experience in a great way. The second verse, again it says, for I'm crucified with Christ and yet I live. But the second thought is, all I hear the Savior calls for daily dying. I will bow beneath the weight of Calvary. Let my hands surrender to his piercing purpose. I love what he said, the piercing purpose of why God actually put us on earth. Why are you singing? Why are you at church? Why are you doing? Why are you witnessing? It's because it's the piercing purpose of your life. And this guy, as he was singing, that's revelation words from God. It goes that, oh boy, come on, phone, work with me a little bit. All right. I will glory in the power of the cross. The things I thought were gained, I count as loss. And with his suffering, I identify. And by his resurrection power, I am alive. You see, we're going to be celebrating Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Resurrection Sunday is we are alive. I am crucified in Christ. We did die with him. It tells us on the cross, we died with Christ. We literally was nailed to the cross with him in identification. Now, I don't want to go be nailed to a cross. I want to identify with the one that was nailed to the cross, because he's the only one that his blood can save us from our sins. And it was all about sins. It wasn't about religious people. It wasn't about whether you're Lutheran, Catholic, Baptist, whatever you put your shingle on your door. It's about your personal commitment into your heart that I am crucified and I've been buried with him. I'm dead. What a wonderful place to be. And it takes you a while to think about this, but I have been crucified with him. And you start thinking about God's only son. And you know, losing Adam, really, one revelation he gave me, out of many revelations, he gave me this. Do you think it's fun to lose a son? And on the day of crucifixion, like I had said, 3 days or 3 hours, complete darkness, earthquakes, graves opening up, the dead coming out, wandering around Jerusalem. I don't know what they're doing, prophesying or whatever they were doing. He paid a price. God paid a price. And his son paid the price that we didn't have to. Amen. And so then he was buried. You know, a buried person, leave them in the grave. You don't drag out a buried person and say, tell me the truth. You know, it's just not going to happen. But I'm dead and buried, and now I'm resurrected. So the most positive thing that we could say, we are resurrected with the Son of all glory. We're resurrected with Jesus. I am seated with him in heavenly places, the Bible tells us. Now, you think that would change your life? Now, as a Christian, I've been a Christian for a long time. This very foundational, smallest thing, if I would do that, not just sing the song or say I did it 20 years ago, if I would do what I said that I was going to do, it changed my life forever. Amen? If I could live the crucified, I'm dead. I'm not, you know, I reckon I'm dead. Tomorrow, I reckon I'm dead. This afternoon, I reckon I'm dead. And I am buried. And so that old thing is gone, and I am living a resurrected life. Wouldn't it be good for your wife? Wives, wouldn't it be good for your husband? You know, for each other, you get ticked off. Oh, I'm ticked off now. Why are you ticked off? Well, because I'm not crucified. And so you bring up all these other things from, no, you're crucified, you can't bring that up anymore. Oh, well, we can't, no, it's buried, you can't bring up the dead. Don't be digging, don't go back with your shovel. Resurrection life is saying, bear it, live it, use the fruit of the Spirit, and it'll change your life forever, amen? I really believe that it'll change your life forever. So if you would consider this, and maybe you're not going to listen to this song every day, but it's easy enough, you can put it on, if you have a cell phone, you can put it on your cell phone and you can listen to it in 5 minutes. I think it was 5 minutes and 47 seconds. You can listen to it and it'll change your life. It'll change my life because I want to live the resurrection life. I want to be a witness to those that are sinners. I want to be a witness to those that are into harlotry. It's been there, done that. I want to make a difference because I represent Jesus, the perfect one on the earth. Am I perfect? No, but I'm following someone that is. Am I getting closer? Yes, I'm getting closer because perfection is what my brain is going. He's perfect. I'm becoming perfect. He's perfect. You ever heard the statement? I want to be just like my daddy. I want to be just like my daddy. Father, I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to be like my big brother Jesus. Challenge to us. So in that thought, next week we will be going on to our second area, but I'd like to really catch this. You know, I'm crucified with him, but yet I live. The greatest thing that happened to me was the crucifixion of Christ, and I identify with that. I'm buried with him, and I love Jesus in his resurrection. Amen. But I'm not going to do that every year. I'm not going to crucify him every year, and I'm not going to bury him every year. I'm going to live the resurrection life for the rest of my life because it's worth it, and it says that I discovered that in the death, burial, and resurrection in Jesus' name. We're going to have a dedication now of a little one that is going to be dedicated into the kingdom. Mom and Dad's going to come, and Godfather and Mother are going to come. And really the dedication is to you. You're going to Grandma. You're going to dedicate yourself. So this child will grow up in the admonition and the fear of the Lord and the love of God through your lives. Now, isn't that just what we were just talking about? This is the kind of the beginning things that sometimes we forget because we get kind of religious. And he said, I didn't come for the religious. I come for those that need a physician. I need a physician. My heart's broken. I need a physician. My memories, I need a physician. And Jesus is our great physician. Amen. And so today, as we dedicate this child, parents, you're dedicating yourself to bring this person up. So Danny, would you come? And the parents, would you come? And grandpas and grandmas and those that represent, would you come?
Pastor Jay, can we have it? Wait just a minute.
Oh, okay, wait a minute. I'm going to take all that back. No, go ahead.
Before we start this morning, I just want to say, you know, that when Jesus was up on the mountain and he had crowds around him and there were kids there, and kids are kids and they're making noise and they're probably running around, and you know, the kids wanted to get where Jesus was. And the disciples, you know, they were kind of Jesus' barricade. And so they were kind of holding the kids back. But you know what? Jesus said, you know, let the little children come unto me. Let the little children come unto me. And so that's, and you know, I believe that that's, this morning, that's what we're doing. We're bringing the children into the presence of God, and we're allowing Jesus to do something in these children's lives. And this is not something we take lightly. It's not something that we take lightly. We as elders, we as a congregation, lay down our lives for the kids. You know, we have individuals who are out there in the children's church every Sunday. And what are they doing? They're laying their lives down for the kids. They're making a difference in those children's lives. They're teaching them about Jesus because there's no other way. There's no other way that these kids are going to get a hold of Jesus. You know, and it takes a community this morning. It takes a community of believers. And that's us, church. That's us. We get to this morning, we get to pour our lives out for the children. I'm going to ask my wife to come, and she's going to read Psalms 91 over this child, because we are firm believers that that's where it all starts. So, babe, will you come?
Circle this whole thing. It's always a good object lesson. All those that want to come. Come on, Linda.
No, come do it now. Huh? Come read it now.
Were you going to read it?
Yes.
You want to do that? I'm not trumping Danny, but I think that's all right to me.
Yes.
You're in charge here.
All right. Parents, will you come? Grandma wants to read over your lives. Grandpa and Grandma, godparents, come, please.
Those that want to take pictures, please do.
We're little kids. And I know God's word. I'm going to bite the thing here. And I know that we know that the word is the word of God, and he will not fail. And when words are spoken to, things like this, if you're sick or if there's a new child or somebody that needs help, the word is what to give. And it will do what it says it does. Because God said so. He put it there. Okay. I forgot her name, sweetie. Huh?
Emmanuel.
Oh, Emmanuel. Yeah. God, Daddy's Emmanuel. Okay. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come to your tent. For he will give you angels charge concerning over you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against any stone. So those angels are pretty awesome. They're awesome. And Father, just thank you for this little one that you have brought forward. You have divided him. It's a boy, right? And you have put him in the place where he's supposed to be. You are mighty and great, Father. We ask that you would give her a blessing. You would give blessing to her mom and to her dad. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's a unique privilege this morning as godparents to stand with Emmanuel and Brianna. Parenting is not easy. As you all know, parenting is not easy. And as I said before, it takes the community, it takes the whole church to do the job. So this morning, we get to bless this little man. We get to bless this little man. We get to pray over him. We get to pray over mom and dad and over the grandparents.
Yes.
And we would pray right now. Let's pray for Emmanuel.
Yes.
Father God, we thank you for this little one.
Mm-hmm.
God, we thank you. We thank you that you are able to do all things. That there is no weapon formed against this little man that's going to prosper. But Father, all things are possible. And he can become anything that he wants to be in you.
Yes.
And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we proclaim life and health and wholeness over this little one in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
And we declared, we decreed the name was given to him not only of a father, but that he is God with us. And from this time forth, God will be with you, Emmanuel. He'll be showing, and you'll see that this young child is an anointed one of the Holy One of Israel. Amen. And I see that God is going to be, you'll see him, that God is with him, and God is with those that are around him. Amen. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for this little boy's life, and Lord, that he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, like John the Baptist, like he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm almost seeing like a Nazarite vows over him in times and seasons of his life, that he will take a responsibility for himself in an older time to be even with Nazareth vows over his life. Father, we release this upon this little guy's life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Anyone else have a word here? All right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, here the kids are.
Hallelujah. I just kept seeing him, and I kept seeing him running. Amen. And I mean, this guy's going to run.
Amen.
But I heard the Lord say that he's not just going to be a runner in the natural,
amen,
but he's going to be a man that's going to run after,
yes,
God.
Amen.
And then I heard him say, it's just on his feet will be the gospel,
amen,
for the gospel's sake.
Amen.
And I just really heard the Lord say that in the days as he's growing up, and even at a young age, he's going to speak of the things of God.
Amen.
He's going to speak of the deep things.
Amen.
It's going to shock you at times.
Amen.
He's actually going to step out in situations, and it's going to make things a little bit uncomfortable, but he's going to prophetically speak to people at times.
Amen.
Even at a young age, like 2 and 3 years old and 4 years old, he's going to speak the word, because the word of God is in him.
Amen.
He's called for such a time as this. He's called for his generation to run with the gospel,
amen,
of Jesus Christ, not just in his heart, but on his lips.
Amen.
Father, we anoint him. Father, we release the call of God in his life right now.
Amen.
Father, that he will run after you all the days of his life, God.
Amen.
Father, that your word would be hidden in his heart at a young age.
Amen.
Father, that he would speak of your goodness, God.
Yeah.
He would speak of the things of God beyond his age.
Amen.
Father, he would speak into situations in people's lives.
Amen.
And it would divide bone and marrow, God.
Amen.
Father, it would prophetically change situations,
amen,
and circumstances in their lives.
Amen.
And in situations and homes. And I'm telling you, this young man is going to be a man after God's,
amen,
own heart. Father, we just speak,
yes,
that over him, like you said over David.
Mm.
Father, that he's going to be a young man after God's own heart.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Anybody else have any words they'd like to say?
Danny, I'd like to have all the kids come when you're reading.
Okay.
Have all the kids, if you could lay hands on this little Emmanuel, just touch him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, kids, you gather around Emmanuel, around his parents. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Today, Community Church International, Thief River Falls, certificate of dedication. This certifies that on the 24th day of February 2019, the parents, together with the godparents, the family, and the local assembly gathered together as witness to dedicate this child, Emmanuel Ty King Toga Kaffa Jr., to the family and service of God, and have pledged to raise this child with love in the Christian faith to the glory of God. Amen. Thank you, church. Hallelujah. Thank you, parents. Thank you, parents. Hallelujah. Parents, grandparents, stand around here and... Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, church. Thank you, pastor.
All right. Let's give them a hand. Thank you, kids, for coming out. See, those kids don't remember their dedication, so we figured we'd bring them. If they were that young, they don't remember that. And most of these kids have been, you know, we're working on that aspect that we actually talked about today. Well, God bless you. May you have a wonderful, wonderful week in Christ, all right? Can you take that? May you live the crucified life, the life that's buried, and the resurrection life that we have for us in this day and for this hour. God bless you, and may he be with you majorly. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.